You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight.
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
This is your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Standing in the shadows, hero of the story, riding on a saddle, chasing down the glory. Time to make your move to exactly what you do. It's a sure shot. It's your salute. It's the kind of luck that rains down once upon a lifetime. Can you hear the countdown? Can you see the goal line? Everything is lined up waiting for your moment. Time slows down. You don't stop a bullet.
And welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight as we get set for another big show here. Lots to discuss as there's all sorts of hockey not being played this week or any other week coming up in the next couple of weeks for a few teams anyway. Want to bring in our co-host that we normally have on, Jason Pajak. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm hanging in there this week. It's been a bit of a trying week, but... making it through, that's the important part. Making it through, and week's almost over, that's the important part. So doing all right there. Jay, I'm sure you've heard, and I know that we've had a little discussion about this off the air, but obviously some disappointing news coming out this week as the FISU games, the Universiade games, has been canceled in Lucerne, Switzerland, with the emergence of the new Omicron variant in the COVID-19 battle. Unfortunately, due to restrictions put on by the country of Switzerland for teams that are flying in, there isn't going to be enough time basically for teams to quarantine and then get ready to play. Hugely disappointing for all the athletes that are going for Canada, obviously. But what are your thoughts on canceling the tournament 2 weeks, canceling the entire event 2 weeks before it's supposed to start?
At this point, we should be used to stuff like this happening because it has happened dozens of times and throughout the last 2 years, but it still sucks all the same. And I mean, it's not something that anybody could have really seen coming. It's something that it's unfortunate that it happens, but it's nobody's fault that this tournament got canceled so quickly. Obviously, it was out of their hands. This was a decision by the Swiss government to implement these new travel restrictions. A lot of governments were very quick to add new restrictions for travel. So I don't blame anybody for this happening, but it sucks so much for these athletes, for these students. A lot of them, this might have been their only shot to go. This might have been their best chance to win a medal. And suddenly it's just kind of taken away. It's one of those things you work so hard for and then it's gone.
Not only for the athletes, because you are right. I mean, this is going to be a lot for a lot of these athletes. There isn't going to be another opportunity because they don't get to go again until a Universiade now until 2023, which is the next one in Lake Placid, New York. But it's also the second time it's been taken away from Lucerne as well, as Lucerne was supposed to host this in January on the 21st, 31st of January in 2021. Obviously, that got moved back because of the pandemic. And now we're back into this problem again. And don't get me wrong, Lucerne put a lot of money into getting venues and getting, you know, everything set up for this. Mm-hmm. And now they're out all that economic payoff, all that economic windfall that they were going to see from having people come in, having fans come in, having, you know, staff come in, spend a little money in their community.
I don't think people understand that even with quote unquote small tournaments like this, like obviously the university, it's not as big as something like the Olympics. But even like a tournament like this, something like a national championship here in Canada, these things take a lot of work and take a lot of money to put on and actually get done. And you sink a lot of money when you're doing things like this. And it can be an absolute windfall. We saw it when we were in PEI, just the change that there was in Charlottetown while we were there. And it's just like all of that, like you said, all that money's gone. And they have no chance of making it back. It's not going to get pushed back again. It's rough. It's rough for the city. It's rough for the athletes. It's rough for the organizers. It's just, we should be used to it by now, but still, you still can't even fathom how much it sucks for everybody involved.
Right. And so this announcement came down, as we know, on Monday. The reason that it's not going to happen now is because, again, Swiss officials require 10 days of quarantine prior to being released back out into the public if you test negative and all that during your quarantine. Obviously, the timing is almost impossible because we knew men's hockey was going to start on the 10th of December. So right there, if you're just counting down the days, I mean, if
they would have had to be,
they have to be in Switzerland by Wednesday in order to get there. And I mean, there's just not enough time to change flights and get all that kind of stuff done or whatever. So it's not going to happen. I mean, you're right. Unfortunately, it does not happen. The 30th edition of the Winter Universiade will not happen, period. It's gone. It's completely over because, again, Lake Placid is 1 year away, basically, from January of next year. So they're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Looking at that then, because let's be honest, I mean, this is the first, it's not the last, it certainly won't be the only tournament that's canceled this season, but let's be honest with what has been canceled now, because there is a laundry list of cancellations that have happened in hockey that legitimately should make people worry about perhaps being a little bit complacent about where we are with COVID right now. And I'll say that only because, again, this list is ridiculous. In the OHL, the Sudbury Wolves will be off until December 4th because 12 players have tested positive for COVID-19. Like, that's a long time, and that happened like at the beginning of the week. So they basically had a week off to get players somewhat healthy. The AHL announced that the Bakersfield Condors were postponing their game on Wednesday against Stockton due to COVID. They also announced that they're rescheduling a pile of games for five different teams. The Rochester Americans' COVID situation has led their games to be postponed until December 3rd. The games involving the Hartford Wolfpack and the Springfield Thunderbirds are going to be postponed through December 4th. And then the games involving the Hershey Bears and the Providence Bruins will be postponed through December the 5th. That's a lot of games to reschedule.
Yeah. It sucks. Like, it's almost at the point where it's like, why even bother? But it makes you question, what are these teams doing wrong? And what are these players doing wrong to have these situations go the way that they are? Like, I understand that last season was an aberration. It was, the restrictions on these teams were severe and all-encompassing. And we thought that, okay, now they're fully vaccinated, maybe we can start to get back to normal. But clearly that's not the case. You brought up the statistic before the show that only half of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated, which is just not even close to being anything that will stop the spread of COVID. And a lot of these teams are based in the U.S., and it's just not working. Like, on the recent Staff and Graph podcast, Rachel Dory said that the reason that she'd missed a few episodes was because while she was in New Jersey visiting some friends, she caught COVID, because her story was she was riding the subway and there was somebody standing there, no mask on, coughing in a subway. I mean, the same thing is going on here in Canada. Like, you told me about what's happening in Quebec. I have coworkers that work in Alberta. Like, wearing a mask and social distancing is no longer seen as necessary by a lot of people. And the mask is a fashion statement, not anything meant to protect you.
And see, it's weird that you say that, and not weird to me that they're doing that, but it's weird that you say that when I look at it and I go, I am shocked that these people aren't doing it again. When we're talking about having 100 new cases in Manitoba on a day, and again, that's what the numbers were Wednesday afternoon anyway, that's 100 new cases on Wednesday afternoon. And then you hear that Quebec has 1,200 new cases on Wednesday?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, this isn't over. This is legitimately like saying, oh, don't worry, there's just a few embers left on the fire. You can go ahead and throw that dry wood on there.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, like, go back and look at the Spanish flu epidemic. It lasted, like, the waves after that lasted for a while. Even though they had a vaccine, everyone wore masks. The flu that we get every year is a descendant of the Spanish flu that killed millions of people. And we're going to have to get there with COVID eventually. But you do that through vaccination and having weaker strains of the virus when it does mutate. but you're not going to get there when you have it spreading like crazy. And every time it can replicate, it can mutate and get stronger because you're forcing it to evolve. So like, we're not going to get there until we buckle down and do this thing and actually commit to all of the protocols that we have in place, all of the options that are available to us, and start doing something. There are other countries that don't have to deal with this because they buckle down and do it.
The irony of this conversation is the same conversation we had 1 year ago today. Not you and I, but just in general, in terms of how we're talking right now.
Yeah.
We just need to buckle down and get it done. Well, exactly. Yeah. If you want to have Christmas, let's try doing that. Let's try doing like I remember having this conversation 1 year ago today. So
yeah, I remember Brian Pallister forcing crocodile tears on a press conference saying he's the man that stole Christmas. I am fully expecting Heather Stephenson to pull the exact same move in a week or so. Just like, it's, can we please just grow up?
Well, we're not done there with the cancellations, because as we know, Ottawa Senators missed a few games. Obviously, that threw a big kink in the schedule for them for a little bit, because now they have three games to make up. There have been a vast number of players who have been in and out of COVID protocol for almost all of the teams in the NHL, including the Winnipeg Jets. We just saw the Islanders resume their schedule on Wednesday. They'll play tonight against San Jose after they had a two-game postponement due to COVID. At this point, and I'm going to ask this only because it seems unlikely. I'm going to say that as nicely as I can, but unlikely is the closest I can get to the right word. It seems unlikely that the NHL is going to China to play in the Olympics.
I'm expecting a decision any day now. Like, the fact that even in your own backyard, you can't tamp this down. You can't tell these guys, like, hey, be smart about this. Like, stop going out and doing dumb stuff. Wear your mask. Keep the staff in line and do this. And then you're going to throw in hundreds of other athletes, thousands of staff members in a foreign country halfway around the world. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Like, do you think the NHL is going to risk having to postpone or cancel the rest of the season because of just like crazy outbreaks? Do you think they're going to risk their top athletes, their money maker faces going over there and some of them getting sick and having either long lasting health implications, having to miss games, having to come back and miss games, being stuck, as you're probably going to say, being stuck for 2 weeks in China after the games are over because they have to continue to quarantine? Like, do you think the NHL is crazy enough to let that happen?
There was a story about a Norwegian, I guess, ice track, whether it's skating or luge. I can't find the story. I wish I could find the story again, but I'll look it up. I'll see if I can find it anyway. About how basically he had to escape China by stowing away on a cargo plane to get back to see his own doctor in Norway. They wouldn't let him leave for 2 weeks. The Chinese government was like, no, you can't leave. Like, you're stuck. Like, we're assuming that you're injured, but we need to do all the quarantining and make sure that you haven't contracted the virus or anything like that. So you're right. I mean, there are going to be players that if they do get injured, they may have to stay longer in China. And I can't see the NHL being okay with that,
no.
Obviously. That's not never going to happen. But when you look at the bigger picture now, and again, I say this only because it makes more and more sense. With all of these countries that are showing up as having the Omicron variant now, whether it be Canada, the US had their first case on Wednesday. We've seen it in the UK. We've seen it in all of these countries. Participate at the Winter Olympics. You can't legitimately ask athletes to fly in 3 weeks early, quarantine, get back onto their play of field, compete, and then quarantine again before going home without having some sort of like, I don't know, some sort of safety net there to help them out, because we're talking about, you know, 6 weeks worth of time basically for a 2 week event now.
Yeah. And like, you also have to think about the fact that the NHL is trying to cram in an all-star game.
Yeah, let's not do that.
And further condense the schedule, where like all other sports aside, the men's hockey tournament is just this lump in the middle of the season. And if you're going to stretch that out in either direction, the NHL is going to just say, no, it's done. You can't go. And then, you think about all of the other athletes that have to go. Like, we know the Olympics is going to happen. Like, there's no way it doesn't happen. There's too much money on the line. You can cancel something like the Universiad for Lucerne and they can eat that loss. The country of China will not eat the loss of the Olympics. They're not. They are simply not. And it's just, it's going to be a matter of time before athletes and countries start dropping out of the tournament.
It remains to be asked then, because you just made a good point that if the NHL doesn't go, obviously we're going to be to the same situation that we were in Pyeongchang, where we have to have a second team sort of made up and ready to go at a moment's notice. Spengler Cup's being played still, according to what we've been told in Davos. Nothing's been canceled there. So because those teams are coming from, I guess, from Europe, they're okay.
A little bit different.
Right. If you don't go, if the NHL doesn't go, are we looking at the Spengler Cup team maybe replacing that team at the Olympics? Because really, how else do you get a team together in less than 2 months and hope that they can play together without having a little bit of warm-up time, a little bit of get-together time to throw the puck around?
That's like a perfect option. If that is like that team will already have reps, they'll already have been playing together. It's not like, you know, you take a bunch of NHLers and you throw them against a bunch of guys that wouldn't even sniff the AHL and see what happens. But I think that's really realistically.
But you can't send AHL guys. Look what's going on in the AHL right now.
But like, unless Hockey Canada and like Hockey USA have backup teams already ready to go just in case, I think that's your best option, is to send the Spengler Cup team, and maybe if you're the US, like pull together a bunch of college players to send them over. If you're Sweden and Finland, grab a bunch of guys from domestic leagues and throw them out there.
Well, that's the question then, is where do they come from, right? Because now here's the big thing that again, I know it's the holiday season and everybody likes to get together on the holiday season. The NHL and the AHL have sent out a memo to all their teams, basically saying that under no circumstances are holiday parties allowed this year.
Good Lord.
Like basically if you're going to have a party, it's going to be you and your family and that's it. There's no, that you're not to get together. Yeah. You're not to go out. You're not to go in and have a party somewhere, because of the risk of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I really look at this and I go, okay, like obviously the NHL is doing what they can to try and keep teams, you know, from making this worse, from making this any worse than it has to be. But at the end of the day, I mean, how many teams are going to unofficially have a party? I think everybody knows that there are going to be a few of the players that go, well, whatever, who cares? But at the end of the day, I think you're not going to see teams will nod and wink when they get this memo and they'll go, yep, no problem, we got it. And then, okay, we'll have a few guys over, we'll go out for a few drinks, no big deal, or whatever they're going to do. But I really question why the NHL would make this harder than it has to be, considering that this is really the only time that these guys can spend time with their family, hang out with their family, have their families hang out with their families, in terms of having sort of an extended family for hockey, because they're on the road so often.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go to the Olympics, you're talking about taking them away from their families now for what? An extra 2 weeks on either side if they get hurt. That's a quarantine.
I mean, with the NHL, they're going to follow Murphy's Law and they're going to go for the option that has the most certainty with it. And I think they're not going to go. And I think they're going to probably threaten to fine, you know, teams that break that rule. If you say, you know what, you went out and you had a party and we found out about it because one of your teammates was stupid enough to post it on Twitter or post it on Instagram, you're getting a pretty hefty fine.
Well, but I think that guys are smart enough knowing that, again, and this is coming probably from their PR and their marketing teams. Hey guys, put the phones away when you're out at the party this time.
I mean, you say that, but we've been proven wrong.
I get it. Like, there will be a few guys that slip up. Don't get me wrong. Or a few, maybe a, you know, a wife or a girlfriend that posts something on their Instagram and somebody notices or whatever, right? Like, there will be people that just want to have a memory or whatever. And I get that. But I think the idea is that, again, like skipping the All-Star game for guys when they just go, well, whatever, I'll just pay the fine. I don't give a crap. Like, I'll go and have a good time and spend time with my friends, my teammates, my family. And I'll pay the whatever it is, the 10 grand or whatever it is the fine's going to be. Because at the end of the day, it's once a year. Like, we don't do this very often. And now you're telling us we can't do it at all? No.
It's one of those things where you can see both sides of it. I mean, with the Olympics, I don't see it. I don't see the risk.
I don't think they're going to go. I think it's unlikely is probably as close as they're going to get right now.
Yeah. For the team parties, I think for the NHL, there's probably a more effective way to stop this stuff from happening. I mean, you're already having these guys in close contact with one another, being in those rooms, and professional athletes, like, it's your job. This stuff is your day-to-day life. You need to take it seriously. There's got to be a better way for the NHL to say, where are these infections coming from? What's happening? Where's the breakdown? How do we solve that problem? The same thing that happens here in Manitoba every single time there's a holiday, especially when at during the height of COVID before we were all vaccinated, where the province would come down and say, okay, this is the restriction for Thanksgiving. This is the restriction for Easter. This is the restriction for St. Patrick's Day. This is the restriction for New Year's and Christmas. And then you'd get thousands and thousands and thousands of people breaking those rules, getting infected with COVID. And then here we are. Like, it's one of those scenarios where this one point in time thing is not going to catch everybody. You need to target the issue where you can.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't get any worse for the NHL over the holidays, because
Oh, it will.
I know they have until January to make that decision, to make the decision whether they're gonna pull out with no financial penalty. But to me, it seems like right now, unlikely is the best way they're gonna get in there, because I can't see a lot of these players. I mean, it's a great experience, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there's a lot of players that want to go, but I can't see the NHL going, we're willing to risk our business model for your 2 week tournament. It doesn't make any sense to me in terms of the way that they're going to do it. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of decisions that have to be made, as we know, we mentioned a little bit about it on a previous show, that the Chinese men's hockey team under a little bit of fire from the IIHF in terms of being not competitive enough to compete in their own Olympics. There was supposed to be a decision that was handed down last week, last Thursday, in fact. It was supposed to come out on Friday as to what the decision was going to be. And the IIHF has decided that they're going to meet again. Now, you might be going, what happened? During a meeting on November 26th, the IIHF Council received a report from the expert group assigned to review all potentially eligible players that might be included on the Chinese men's national team roster. Okay, so apparently there's this expert group that can dig up players out of nowhere that are Connor McDavid good, but that are Chinese, but I don't know where they're hiding at this point, so whatever. But anyway, the council was also presented with the most up-to-date eligibility documents from the Chinese Ice Hockey Association concerning the players that were included on its long list. So basically, the Chinese Ice Hockey Association's bending the rules a little bit, like we said they might. Might try to squeeze a few more people in to try and get them, our team a little bit better. These documents, together with the expert evaluation report, will be reviewed over the coming weeks before the council reconvenes to determine further actions. That will happen on December the 6th. In the end, the 32nd ranked team on the planet in China is still in the Olympics, while the number 11 team on the planet, Norway, is sitting on the sideline.
Which is ridiculous.
I'm not against giving China enough time to get this list together. I don't care who's on it, because it's not going to make them more competitive in this tournament.
You already had the best Chinese-born and dual-citizen Chinese players out there playing, and they weren't good enough. Like, I don't like. Is this report going to be, they sit down with the Chinese Ice Hockey Federation, this expert team, and they slide a paper across that says there's going to be no hockey at the Olympics if you don't let us go? Like, is it going to be something like that, or did Connor McDavid and Sidney Crosby suddenly become Chinese citizens?
Well, see, the way I see it is that, again, they're probably looking at, expanding that group to find out whether or not these guys have any Chinese heritage in them. And they went, yeah, you know what? They did. They've eaten at a Chinese restaurant before. They definitely had Chinese in So, I mean, legitimately, that's the only way you can claim that anybody who's half good is going to play for your team. There is no way that your team, even if your team improves by 4 spots in the world rankings, you're still the worst team at the tournament. It doesn't matter who you sign. If you sign Crosby, McDavid, and McKinnon all to play on your team, you're still the worst team at the tournament.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Even if NHL players and AHL players don't go, you're still not pulling anything against them, because even the worst teams at the tournament are leagues better than China.
Okay, so the Red Star, as we reported, are terrible in terms of they're now tied as the worst team in the league. Okay, Admiral's terrible as well, but Admiral just came back from a 1 year hiatus that they took off, so they had to basically rebuild their whole team again. So Kunlun is basically tied with an expansion team right now. They're 6-22-2-3 on the season. They've given up 127 goals in 33 games. They're not good. And this is the team that we expect to go in, or the majority of the guys that are going to be playing on this team, that we expect to go in to the tournament, to the Olympic tournament, and make a difference. Because I don't see it happening. I don't see any way that they have a chance of beating anybody. They lost to Magnitogorsk the other day, 5-1. Like, they looked like they didn't even belong on the same sheet of ice. Mm-hmm. Like, it, ugly. And yet we're telling these guys, oh, don't worry, we're gonna be able to handle this. Like, they Metallurg outshot them 50-22 over three periods of play. 50-22.
There's no conceivable scenario where this team deserves to be there.
There is no conceivable way. Again, I don't care if they're there. This is the thing that kills me, is that the IIHF is whining and moaning and complaining about how this team isn't going to be competitive. And they're not wrong. They're not going to be competitive. But then they're allowing them two more weeks to try and get their act together. Either stop complaining about it not being competitive enough, or stop giving them extra time, because you can't have your cake and eat it too.
You keep giving them more time to do nothing. There's no conceivable, like, essentially right now, the IIHF is giving the Chinese Ice Hockey Federation the leniency and the ability to go and keep reviewing and keep looking for players for their own benefit, just to feel like they did something, when we know there's no universe where this team is going to be up to the level that the IIHF expects. And that's been the case for a very long time.
To me, it bothers me that they think that there's any opportunity. Again, I don't care if they're not competitive. I don't care if they end up dead last. Again, we talked about how Dave King went over with Japan. He was the GM of the Japan team in 1998. And in Nagano, the Japan team ended 13 out of 14 teams. It's not a big deal if you come in last in your own tournament. But if the Chinese government is going to make a big deal about coming in last in their own tournament, then pull the team. Just say that we don't belong there.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a pride thing for China, you can do the right thing and step back and allow Norway to step in. But if this is a IIHF thing and they're not willing to step back, then force them back. Because there is no way that this Chinese team, or make, you know what? I got a better idea. 2 days before the Olympics start, have a play-in game. Have a play-in series if you want it. Best 2 out of 3. Let Norway play China and see who gets in.
If China can earn their way in there, fine. All power to them.
If you can beat Norway, you deserve the spot. But if you don't beat Norway, guess what?
Kick rocks.
And this is the thing, as I look at this now and I go, there, at some point, you got to just cut the line here, because you're not helping anybody out. You're not making it better. You're not making the tournament stronger by allowing China to continue to drag their heels on this. Let Norway get set, get prepared, get ready to go.
We're at a point where the politics of the Chinese government are coming head to head with the reality that is high level sports, where China is in they're very similar to Russia in the way that they treat athletics. There's a reason why Russia, specifically when they were the Soviet Union, pumped ridiculous amounts of money and resources and energy and time into developing the best athletes in the world for the Olympics, so they could go and beat the rest of the world and turn around to their citizens and turn around to the rest of the world and say, we are the greatest. And that's what China does not want to look bad at their own Olympics. So not being there would look bad.
But this is what I mean, though. So step back. Because it would look worse if you get hammered every game. Basically, you're a scrimmage team right now for every other team in that pool. Every other team in that pool is going to come out and just play scrimmage style hockey against them. They don't care if they get scored on, because they're not going to score 10 goals on them, but they're going to put 10 by your goalie. So be prepared.
And you got to think that there are jobs on the line now, where I don't know if it's a directive directly from the the Chinese ruling party up to the Chinese Ice Hockey Federation that, you know, they have to go and make it happen, or if it's the Chinese Ice Hockey Federation scared to death that they need to go or else their jobs are gone and their funding is gone if they don't go.
That very well may be the case. If that's what the ultimate fate of the Chinese Ice Hockey Association is going to be, is that if they don't go, they're axed from the government spending. But that just shows you the kind of commitment that the government had towards getting a gold medal hockey team together. Mm-hmm. Like, don't blame them for not being able to do something in the span of 4 years when you only gave them 4 years to do what you asked them to do. This isn't a demonstration sport that's brand new to the entire world. This is a long established part of the Olympics, of the Winter Olympics. Ice hockey has been there forever. Yes. And now you're telling them that they have to come in 4 years and knock off teams like the Russians and the Canadians and the Americans without any sort of buildup. Like, kick rocks. Get out of here, China. You're completely on the wrong side of history here.
Like, they do such an amazing job creating gymnasts and swimmers and skiers and all of that. But if this is the area where they've never invested the money and the time.
Right.
And
right.
It is showing so badly. I think of back in, you know, the USSR days, how the Soviet Union team got away with being quote unquote amateurs because they were soldiers who just happened to play hockey and were really good at playing hockey, when their training for being a quote soldier was practicing to play hockey.
But I mean, it goes back to, and I mean, you're right. I mean, your history lesson right there is correct in that this is how it sort of worked with the Russians, is that we can claim amateur status because they don't play professionally. They're all soldiers, right? Mm-hmm. But I look at this and I go, honestly, you have the ability, China, and I'm not saying that I don't know how the politics of their government works. I'm completely ignorant to that fact. I'll admit it right here. But China has the exact same opportunity as what the Russians did. They have a military legitimately that could have been training for hockey. Take the 50 best players you have, or the 50 most interested players you had, pay them their regular soldier salary, and just throw them on the ice and let them play all day. But we don't do that, because again, that would take away from whatever military power we think we are in China. My issue is that, again, you're telling the Chinese Ice Hockey Association basically to create gold out of dust. So stop.
It's an impossible situation.
Money, right. Stop feeding money into this ice hockey association if you're not going to do it right. And if you are going to do it right, then do it and stop being ridiculous about it, because you had zero chance at gold coming into this tournament, even when it was announced. You have a worse chance now that we know where you are in terms of how bad you are. And moving forward, it ain't going to get any better unless you fix the problem now. So to me, don't bother me anymore, China, with your whole dreams of gold medal on ice, because there is no miracle on ice at this point for you guys.
No.
Like, you're the 32nd team in the world for a reason. You're going to get beat up by any other team that plays. You're going to get scored on at will by teams that are very good. And at the end of the day, it's an embarrassment for your country, regardless of how you look at this.
If NHL players go to the Olympics and China goes, records will be shattered.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. You're probably right. Like, we're talking like double digit wins for most of the good teams against China.
Yeah.
Double digits easily. And especially when goals for and goals against matter in this tournament when it comes to tiebreakers. Like, mm-hmm. That's the thing, is that there isn't a provision in place to say, well, once you hit six goals, that's the most you can get. No. You score at will until you can't score anymore, until the final horn goes.
Yeah.
Because those goals count.
So the biggest win, just for posterity, the biggest win Team Canada has ever had was in 1949. They won 47-0 over Denmark.
Ooh. And Denmark's back this year.
Yeah. We're not going to see, like, it's not going to be, I don't think, that bad.
It won't be that bad, but. But this is where people are the
memory of that, like, what was it, like 87-0 Russia game from like a junior league years ago? Like, it's going to be bad.
But this is where we need to put the brakes on everything, because if everybody's going to complain about blowouts at the World Juniors, and we've seen those happen, Don't get me wrong. We've seen teams get blown out of the World Juniors and everybody, oh, we need to change the format. We need to change the way we're doing this. No, we don't. And the reason we don't is because China won't change their stance on hockey. Embarrass them. Force them to be better by embarrassment if you have to. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that if they're going to push on this and they want to be part of this tournament, then you've accepted the consequences of what's going to happen. And that's utter embarrassment. I'm sorry to say it. And it sounds heartless to say that, but if you get beat 23-0 by Canada, just again, random score, but 23-0 by Canada, you accepted that the moment you said, we're in for a penny, we're in for a pound.
Yeah. At this point, let them go. Let them go. Let them embarrass themselves. Let's just...
Again, if you can't make the decision 2 weeks ago or a week ago from where we are right now that they shouldn't be in this tournament, then let them play. If they're going to continue to push the envelope, let them play. And if it's bad, all you need to do is look at them and shrug your shoulders. You guys asked for this.
Totally. There's no two ways around it. You guys picked this.
Right. Like, again, I don't mean to sound heartless, but you got what was coming to you. You guys wanted to be in this tournament. You guys asked to be in this tournament. You guys wanted to hold the Olympics. You guys said, give us a spot. Give us the, without qualifying for it, we get the host spot. Well, guess what? Ain't so great, is it?
Yeah. That's it.
So, I don't know. To me, double IHF needs to get off the pot here and either make a decision or not. But whether or not they do... we'll know by December the 6th, because that's when they are supposed to meet again. If they don't make a decision by the 6th, I'm going to say this right now. I'm going to come out and say it on the air right here so everybody can hear it. If they don't have a decision by the 6th, China's in for the games.
Yeah, 100%. I think regardless, they're in for the games.
Well, I mean, they're in. I think they're in only because, again, if you're giving them an extra 2 weeks to review all these new players that we know won't make them any better, they're in. Like, they have to be. Why would you give them the extra time if it didn't matter? So they're in.
Yeah, we'll
call it right now.
Yeah.
Sticking over in that area of the world, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. Bill Peters, one of our favorite people of all time, Bill Peters.
Somebody who I also would like to kick rocks.
Upstanding citizen Bill Peters was fired by Automobilist after they started the season fairly poorly. Automobilist, is eighth in the East right now at 11-15-3-5. And Bill Peters was shown the door after not getting a very good start to the season. I hate to say it, and I know that there are teams out there that might be looking for coaches. I hate to say it, though. I think his career is over now. I mean, he might go coach in some other place in Europe, but I think his career officially in, whether it be the NHL, the AHL, the KHL, it might be done now.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where if you can't make it in the KHL, you're done. It's over. It's over for you. Like, we've seen coaches that have gone over there, done fairly well, won championships, or just had very successful careers, and then have come back to, you know, the professional ranks in North America and have turned things around. Paul Maurice from the Winnipeg Jets being, I believe he coached in the KHL, right?
I believe he was over there a little bit. Yeah. He was in the AHL as well, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. He turned it back around, and now he's the losingest coach in NHL history and still coaching the Winnipeg Jets for some reason. And the team looks awful. That's neither here nor there. But I think when you're at that point, is it the same thing with players? If you can't cut it at the KHL, there's the door. You're walking through it. Yeah. He could probably find a coaching gig somewhere in Finland or Denmark, or go to Germany and try and make something there. But working your way back up to the top is getting harder and harder and harder by the day.
So his last game officially was November 28th. It was a 3-1 loss to Cyber. Shane Prince opened the scoring for Automobilist, and then they proceeded to give up 3 straight goals and lose the game. So doesn't sound very good at all at that point. So yeah, that was the end of Bill Peters after that game. He was gone and moving on at that point. So,
don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I'm fully in agreement with that. If I never hear the name Bill Peters again, I probably won't be sad about that.
Yeah.
Want to jump to another guy that's going to be sat down for a little bit. Brendan Lemieux, former Winnipeg Jet, former New York Ranger. Brendan Lemieux of the Los Angeles Kings. 5 games for biting Brady Tkachuk. Now, I'm not here to argue about what was called and what wasn't called. I'm not here to debate that. He bit him. He bit Tkachuk. We know that. My question is five games enough?
I was hoping for more, only for the fact that I was looking at 10, because we all know he would have got the 10, would have gone to arbitration, that would have been cut to 5, and we would have been back where we started. I think for an incident like this, we've had incidents for biting before, but we haven't had one, A, in the middle of a pandemic, and B, one where you drew significant amounts of blood and the teeth marks were so visible that you could see it on the broadcast.
Okay, but they said that they weren't entirely certain that the blood was drawn from a bite. That was the argument, is that the NHL said they couldn't conclusively determine that. Otherwise, it would have been
more. Did he smack his hands on his teeth? Like,
well, they think they don't. They didn't have like a goal review, right? They didn't have definitive proof that it was from his teeth. That's where it came from. So
the teeth shaped marks that are bleeding on great Brady Tkachuk's hand are enough evidence for the NHL.
But there was enough from the first bite, because they witnessed that, and certainly the officials saw that, and that's what they reported. The first bite that happened is the one where he got five games from. The consequences of the second, third, fourth, even fifth bite that he put on him, because obviously he broke skin, that didn't matter. It's the first bite that they were concerned about. That's all.
Oh, sorry. In Gary Bettman, NHL lawyer language, it wasn't the bite that caused the injury. It was the movement of Brady Tkachuk's hands while Brendan Lemieux's teeth were wrapped around his flesh that caused the injury. Thus, the bite wasn't that bad. It was the movement of Brady Tkachuk's hand.
I mean,
the injury.
I'm not one to tell the NHL right or
thus
wrong.
Thus, it's Brady Tkachuk's fault.
I'm not here to tell them right or wrong from their decision. But most times when I get bit, the first thing I do is pull back.
Yeah. this is something that I didn't know heading into that, is the Tkachuk and Lemieux families go back a generation in terms of hating each other. And Brendan has now fought both Tkachuk brothers multiple times.
Not only that, though, I mean, his dad, Claude, bit Keith Tkachuk. So they've both been suspended for biting. Like, this is a generational biting thing now, where Claude Lemieux has been suspended, and then now Brendan Lemieux has been suspended for biting players.
This is also a guy that allegedly shot pucks at Eric Comrie's head while he was with the Moose, and was so disliked in his junior hockey dressing room that the team had to pay a king's ransom to get rid of him. And there was another team before he went to the major junior ranks in Canada, in the USHL, who hated him so much that he didn't want to go back because they hated him so much.
See, and I look at this and I go, and again, you heard Brady Tkachuk come out and say it, that nobody likes this guy. Nobody wants to play on him on the same team. Nobody wants to be his teammate, that whole thing. And I know that Jonathan Quick came out and tried to defend him, and whatever, that's fine. No big deal. My thing is that there's a lot of guys, and I've heard my own stories. I could probably tell a story on the air that I will or will not tell. Actually, I will not tell it because I don't want to get in trouble, but there have been stories about guys that I've heard that legitimately had some words with Brendan Lemieux when he was playing here in Winnipeg about basically either you walk the line or you leave the room. Like, either you follow what the example that we're leading, or we don't want you as part of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Brendan Lemieux can't be an effective player. I'm not saying that he's no Brad Marchand in terms of the way he scores. He's no Brad Marchand in terms of the way he agitates. But I'm not saying he can't be an effective player in the NHL.
Yeah.
If he played more like Marchand, he'd be a much better player and certainly more valuable to the Kings. But
he obviously gives value to the Kings if they're going to keep him around.
But this is the thing. I look at this, though, and I go, if you're gone for five games, I mean, we'll see how the team does when he's gone versus when he's there. And I'm not saying that because, again, I know that, you know, competition changes from here, there, and everywhere in terms of who you're playing and stuff or whatever. But let's be honest. If you're a distraction, you're not very valuable to your team. And right now, Brendan Lemieux's bite is the biggest distraction in that locker room right now, because all these guys are going to have to answer the question for Brendan Lemieux.
Yeah, and they're going to have to answer it. Like, this is going to follow them. The next time, because they're in the same division, the next time the Calgary Flames come to town with Matthew Tkachuk there, that whole conversation is going to get kicked off again. because Matthew's going to go after Brendan and it's going to be an issue.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like they don't see each other enough. They only play in the same division, right? So
yeah, exactly. Again, it's one of those things where if you want,
I'll tell you right now, and I know this is going to be a break for him. So he gets a break. Flames and Kings play in LA tonight. Flames and Kings are in LA tonight. Flames and Kings then don't see each other. And again, this is going to go down the road a little bit in terms of where they are. The Flames and Kings don't see each other again for a little bit of time. So this has got a little bit of time to maybe Simmer. Hopefully blow over a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, set off the powder keg too much here, but the Flames and Kings won't play again until March 31st, 2022. The only catch is that they have two games within 5 days of each other. And that,
yeah, that might not go well.
May not. Yeah.
And it's going to be a situation where maybe the NHL steps in and pulls both teams aside and says, hey, if there's any funny business, we're going to ding you.
I mean, you hope
that's what
by
the NHL
March
likes to do.
Well, yeah, you hope by March, though, that things have sort of moved to the back burner a little bit. And there's not. But I mean, the first hit that Brendan Lemieux lays on Tkachuk, you know, that's going to happen. Like, you know, it's going to happen again. So
it's going to pop off.
Right. I mean, there's going to be some anger and some, oh, hey, you remember what you did to my brother? Here we go. Like, let's settle it right now sort of thing or whatever. So, I mean, again, I don't look at it as being a negative so much as just let's hope that it doesn't get out of hand at that point or whatever, where, okay, one fight, we're done, where it's over and done with. You never have to worry about it again. They won't see the Senators for the rest of the season, so the Kings don't have to worry about that. But,
quote, bad guy. That's bad what guy. That's the worst insult you can give somebody in hockey is calling them a bad guy.
Well, speaking of bad guys, I'm going to bring up this story because we only got a few minutes left here, but Keith Wachtel, for those that don't know, he's NHL head of, I don't know, something, but doesn't really matter because he shouldn't be in hockey either. Because he mentioned to the Sports Business Journal on Wednesday that, quote, NHL teams could generate at least $100 million collectively in annual revenue, unquote, by selling jersey sponsor patches. I already hate this idea. Adding the $100 million price tag to it only makes it that much more nauseating, only because, again, the jerseys are sacred. Let's stop making this look like European hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I get the business model in Europe and why they do it. They don't have $100 billion payrolls over there. I get that. But adding $100 million collectively in annual revenue just means that somebody's getting rich off of it instead of it being used for good, which would be, I don't know, lowering ticket prices or, I don't know, getting more kids in hockey or, I don't know, helping minor hockey associations.
On that, I am going to explain something. I mentioned it on my podcast when I was talking about, I did an episode on strikes and labor unions.
Okay.
Companies do calculations so they can sell you a product to find out what the highest price they can sell something at is before people stop buying it because of the price. It has nothing to do with the materials that went into it, the labor costs that went into it, or how much money actually goes into generating that product or service. It's all a calculation based on what people are willing to pay in that market. It's the exact same thing in professional sports. So if they can squeeze out another $100 million and it won't affect ticket sales, it won't affect merchandise sales, they're going to do it.
Okay, you can say that, but we've already seen NHL average attendance going down this year. Like, it's dropped significantly in Winnipeg. We know that for certain. We saw it drop in Chicago where their sellout streak ended. We've seen it drop across the league. Mm-hmm. And I just go, at some point, you've reached your maximum saturation for what you can charge on this. And adding an extra $100 million means that if your costs are still going up, you can't afford to run this league like you're doing it anymore.
Yeah. I will say that the Jets thing might also have something to do with the team is playing awful right now.
Sure.
But and the restrictions were kind of wonky for a while, but I understand your point.
But like, 90% of people that aren't renewing their season tickets are saying it's too expensive. It's not saying because the Jets are terrible. The walk-up tickets, I get that. Like, the walk-up for games in terms of selling off those last, you know, 100 tickets that they had at the box office, I get that those aren't being sold because the team isn't doing so well. But everybody who's leaving the season ticket holder roster that they had are saying the same thing. It's far too expensive for me to keep doing this. Mm-hmm.
This is a story. I am taking my girlfriend to her first ever NHL hockey game.
Whoa.
In January. She's never been. She's never watched a full hockey game.
All right.
But I was like, Seattle's coming. I want to see a game. Maybe I'll take my girlfriend to see it.
Yeah.
Tickets collectively were $360 for the two tickets. A buddy of mine lives in Ottawa. He got tickets at the Glass for an Ottawa Senators game for $20.
I know it's $200 to go to see the Jets play every game. Like, I get that we only have a 15,000 seat arena, and I get that tickets are going to be a little more expensive because we have a smaller arena here. I get that. I understand how the economics of an arena's selling point works. But my issue becomes, and again, what you just said illustrates this. My issue becomes is that if we're all playing under the same rules, we all have a salary cap. We all have a maximum amount we can spend to. We all, and I get that the Senators are only spending maybe half of what they're, or not half, maybe two thirds of what the Jets are spending, but their ticket prices are 10% of what the Jets cost. Don't tell me that there isn't some sort of negative correlation between spending $300 on tickets like you did to going to see probably a non-playoff team in Seattle and seeing a non-playoff team in Ottawa for $20.
Yeah. I would much rather go see Ottawa right now.
Right. Like, this is what I mean.
It is almost the same price for me to, I mean, it's not because we live in Canada, but I could drive to Ottawa for that game and drive back, and the cost of the gas, the hotel, and the tickets would probably equate to about the same. Also, here's an amazing fact for people. The NHL's teams, their actual gate revenue is a infinitesimally small amount of the money that they make every year.
Correct. I agree. That is 100%.
Gate has nothing. The Florida Panthers, it does not matter how few people go to their games, they're still making money.
Right. And again, that's the whole business of sports, is that we need to stop. All you're doing is gouging your number one asset, which is fans. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why teams think they can do it. I get that it's a supply and demand thing. I get that if the supply is much higher than the demand, you're probably looking at an empty arena, aka Florida. But if the demand is there and the supply is lower, you can charge a little bit more because then there's a premium on those tickets.
Yeah.
When you start seeing those numbers beginning to even out, Winnipeg, you should probably look at dropping prices. Just saying.
And fire your coach.
Well, that's another whole, that's a whole show on its own at this point. We got nothing going on though. Speaking of arenas, at our arena, at Wayne Fleming Arena for a long time now, Jay, is both the Bison men's and Bison women's hockey team are off until January. Want to give shouts out to a guy who earned Hockey Star of the Week in Brett Davis.
Yeah.
Big weekend for him. Yeah. Saved 3 goals, 3 assists, including the overtime winner in that 7-6 barn burner with the Golden Bears. How many times can I say that about the Bison? 7-6 barn burner that they won against the Golden Bears.
Yeah. I'm
saying right now, I want to play out, because right now there's a 6-point gap between Regina and Manitoba for that last playoff spot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it can't be overcome. It's going to be a tough ask. You're going to need a lot of help along the way. But if there's a playoff race in men's hockey for that last playoff spot, again, Mount Royal's tied with Regina as well. They're at 13 points as well. But if there's a race for that last playoff spot, make it a 7 or 8 team race, please.
It's going to happen again. The Bisons are going to sneak into the playoffs again. It's going to happen. We doubt them all year, and somehow they do it.
If they do, it would be nice if they did, because I mean, it would be fun to see them make the return and certainly do a little bit more than, and again, maybe shock somebody a little bit as well. I'm not saying it's going to happen. You got to get to the playoffs first, and really that's the second half of the season. But if they play like they did against both Mount Royal and Alberta in the second half of the season, there's a chance. It's better than having your season done in December, though, right?
Yeah, having Hughes and Davis back is doing wonderful things for this team. And all they need now is Lyndon McCorrister back, and that power play is going to be on fire.
Well, there we go. You'll be all over that in terms of giving us the call there. With that, though, Jason, we're going to get out of here. We're just about out of time here in terms of our hour here. Anything you want to promote before we go?
Just checking out my show, Let's Talk About, every Tuesday, 11 to 11:30 here on UMFM.
I want to promote next week, and I have a couple of guests coming in, a couple of special guests coming in, actually. Really excited to talk to these two, as they are on one of the best teams in Canada, and we'll get a chance to catch up with them and talk to them a little bit about how their season is going as well over in a different conference. So make sure you tune in for that, folks, as we'll be back next Thursday, same time, same bat channel, right here on 101.5 UMFM. It's been the Hockey Show for another week. Thanks again for doing this, Jason. Always glad to have you along.
It's always great to be here.
And with that, folks, we are out of here for another week. We'll see you next Thursday here on the Hockey Show.
You don't stop a bullet when you set into motion. You don't stop a fire when you light an explosion. So then why were we fighting? Already igniting, counting down, 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 down. You don't stop a bullet when it's set into motion. You don't stop a fire when you light an explosion. So then why were we fighting? Already igniting, counting down, 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 down.
Like, why you gotta put everything on the internet while you're doing it, or after you're done doing it?
Well, if you don't put it on the internet, how's gonna people know what you did?
Do I know what? That's your problem right there. You should be playing your cards close to your chest.
This is 101.5 UMFM.
That's what I appreciate about you.
Is that what you appreciate about me?
Let's take about 5 to 10% off over there, squarely down.
Yeah, no.
This winter, the town of Stonewall is transforming Kinsman Lake at Quarry Park into an outdoor hockey rink for the first time ever. This great, fun-filled family weekend taking place from February 18th through the 20th will feature a Save Pond Hockey celebrity game with Canadian hockey legend Haley Wickenheiser, a pond hockey tournament, skills competitions, a hockey and sustainable items marketplace, family skating, a beverage garden, live music, and oh so much more. Check out umfm.com or outdoorhockey.club to find out how to register your squad today. Play hockey in the great outdoors while protecting your community for future generations. Help stick it to climate change. Sign up for the Save Pond Hockey 3-on-3 tournament today.
GoBisons.ca is the official home of Bison Sports on the web. Log on to GoBisons.ca for all your information on Bison Varsity Athletics, from our hockey team to football, soccer, basketball, volleyball, swimming, cross-country, track and field, golf. It's all there at GoBisons.ca. You'll find player and team profiles, information on upcoming Bison special events, and full schedules for all your Bison sports. Log on to GoBisons.ca and support the Brown and Gold this season.
Your future is about choices, and at the University of Manitoba, there are endless choices to explore. It's a place where you not only learn, but do. My professors have opened doors to so many experiences, like summer research jobs and leadership opportunities. These experiences are helping me achieve my dream of becoming a pediatrician. At the U of M, I'm pushing my limits to see how far I can go.